Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of The Day Is at Hand. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verse 12, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so as we look at the nation of Israel today, as we see this nation struggling, as we go back a little bit in history and we saw how the nation was brought into being out of this furnace of affliction known as the Holocaust, and how the nation again emerged in 1948, and how for now these years since the emergence of the nation, they've lived in a constant state of war, a constant conflict, surrounded by nations that hate them and want to destroy them. All of these things are already written in the pages of Scripture. As Zechariah would say, that Jerusalem would become a burdensome stone to all of the nations. Hey, that's where we're at today, and it's going to get even more intense before it's all over. I think Israel, the existence of the nation of Israel itself, is one of the most powerful proofs of the truth of the Bible. You know, people, all the Bible's full of myths and legends and this and that and the other thing. You know, man, how do you explain the existence of this nation when almost every nation on the planet doesn't want them to exist? And especially their close neighbors don't want them to exist. And they're outnumbered at least 100 to 1. But be that as it may, the reality is God's brought them back as he said he would. And you can read about it in Ezekiel 38, 39. And not that that's been fulfilled totally, but there's definitely been a partial fulfillment of that. So we've got Israel. We've also got this amazing development that's occurred in the past 60 plus years in Europe. And the biblical prophecies that there would be four kingdoms that would dominate the world, the prophecies of Daniel. They would be the Babylonian kingdom or empire, the Persian kingdom or empire, the Greek empire, and the Roman empire. And Daniel is very specific that the Roman empire would have two phases. And so Bible prophecy teachers for years and years and years had been talking about a revived Roman Empire where Europe would come together once again, ultimately under one head and one authority, as a rebirth of what was known historically as Rome. And, you know, again, we're seeing these things happen with the European Union. And yes, there's struggles and there's difficulties and there's bailouts and there's all these things that are going on, but it's all still there, and it's you know, solidifying more and more. So we see that. We see globalization. And again, the scriptures predicted globalization. Revelation chapter 13 is so fascinating because Revelation 13 said ultimately there's going to be a one world government. There's going to be a one world economic system, And connected to that, there's going to be a one world religion. And again, you don't have to look far to find that there are a lot of people that really love that idea. There are a lot of people that are really promoting that idea today. There are people in our government that are committed globalists. They're absolutely committed to the demise of this country as an independent, sort of a superpower, standalone nation. They want to reduce the status of this country and bring it down to a level where ultimately there can be a global system that is set up. The scriptures told us that was going to happen already. And so, knowing the times, so we need to be living with the understanding that, hey, these things are the very things that God said would be happening as we would get closer and closer to the return of Christ. Lawlessness would abound. We're told that in many places. And of course, we see a growing lawlessness, a disregard for law, and particularly for God's laws, specifically for God's laws, an absolute revolt and rebellion. We're not going to do anything the way God said. That's pretty much the mentality of many today. So this is the general atmosphere that we live in. Now, like I said earlier, the thing that we don't want to do, and the mistake that is oftentimes made, is trying to get too specific and trying to, you know, find some prophetic fulfillment in everything that happens, that we read about in the papers or see on the news, and then, you know, get ahead of the Lord, if you will, and start saying, well, this is how it's going to go, and that, because it never works out the way we think it's going to work out. I've heard all of these prophetic scenarios for so many years, and, you know, hey, it's going to go this way and that way and that way, but it doesn't go that way because, you know, I don't think we're ever going to figure it out, this side of it happening. We get like a general picture, but the specifics, the details are much, much different. I just remember back to before the demise of the Soviet Union. Everybody tried to interpret prophecy around the existence of the Soviet Union and the spread of communism around the world. And so all of the prophetic scenarios were interpreted in relation to that. But then that whole thing just sort of fell apart. So a lot of people had to go back to the drawing board and say, wait, now, okay, how do we figure this out? Nobody back then could foresee the resurgence of Islam. Nobody was thinking in terms of Islam becoming a dominant force at this time in history. I mean, I've read books where people back in the middle part of the 20th century were essentially writing Islam off as it was on its last leg. It's pretty much a religion of the past. It's going to die to never rise again. Boy, they got it wrong, didn't they? See, that's what happens if you try to get too specific. So we look at that general picture. We know that things are going to be happening with Israel and with the Jews. We know that things are going to be happening in Europe. We know that there's going to be this movement toward a one world system. We know that lawlessness is going to abound. So all of this stuff, we're living in the middle of it. What does Paul say? He says, knowing the time, it's time to be awake. This is no time for sleeping. This is the time to be alert. This is the time to be, man, wide awake spiritually and diligent spiritually, that we're living for God, that we're serving Him, and that we are anticipating the culmination of these things, because they will surely come to pass in God's appointed time. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand. So here's what we do. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Casting off the works of darkness. It's no time to be dabbling in sin. It's not the time. It's never the time. It's the time to cast off the works of darkness, not hold on to them. It's a time to get rid of them. It's a time to renounce those things. It's a time to completely turn away from those things. Listen to what Paul said in writing to the Ephesians. He said, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Man, these things that are proliferating in our culture, this lawless lifestyle, this disregard for God's standards, this will bring the wrath of God upon the world. This will bring the wrath of God upon people individually. It's going to ultimately bring the judgment of God upon the earth. Paul says, look, you're saints. This might have been the way you lived before, but it's not the way you're to live now. And you know, there are people right now that are so wanting to take their liberties. I just think, you know, this isn't the time. I hear of some younger pastors, you know, maybe they grew up in a, you know, a little bit of a rigid kind of a environment as Christians, and, you know, they felt more restricted than they think they should have been, and, you know, it was kind of a legalistic thing, and they're through with that, and I'm all for being through with legalism as well. But, you know, a lot of these guys are, you know, strangely, they're getting into, they like to cuss. And you know, I hear this once in a while, and I think, you know, I mean, how stupid. That's what you want to do? I got liberty in Christ, man. I want to cuss. You know, I'm going to use my liberty in Christ for way better things than cussing. You know, I just think, you know. And, you know, people will even go so far as to say, well, you know, it's just cultural. Those words don't really mean anything. It's just a cultural thing, you know, trying to justify it. Well, you know, that's interesting to me, because before I was saved, you know, I had a very foul mouth. And when I got saved, nobody told me to stop using that kind of language. But guess what? The Lord just extracted it from me. He just took it away. It just wasn't there. So I have reasoned that if God took that away from me, probably was something that he didn't like. And what in the world would I want to take it back for? That's ridiculous. See, it's these kinds of things. It's like, no, this, it's not the time for that. This is childish stuff. Doesn't make you a man to use foul language. Makes you a man to glorify Jesus. And that's what we want to do. So Paul says, get rid of this stuff. Cast off the works of darkness. And of course, he's talking about obviously more serious things, like we're talking about here, the fornication, the sexual immorality. But notice, he's got it all lumped together. Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, it's all right there. He says, these things are not fitting for God's people. They're not fitting. So we are to cast off the works of darkness, and we are to put on the armor of light. Again, listen to Paul to the Thessalonians. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So that's, we're to walk in the light. We're to put on the armor of light. We're to do this in relation to the time that we're living in. And then he says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. Another word, revelry could be translated orgies, drunken orgies, not in that kind of thing. This is what the godless have been doing for centuries. Not in lewdness and lust, sexual immorality, sensuality is another way to translate those words. Not in strife and envy, or not in quarreling and jealousy. So just the things of the flesh. Paul says, we're to walk properly. We're not to be engaging in these things. We're not to be doing these things. But on the contrary, what are we to do? We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. No provision for the flesh. You see, that's the thing we're talking about. I don't want to give in to the flesh. I don't want to make little provisions for the flesh. Because, listen, the flesh, if you give it an inch, it'll take a mile. There's no such thing as a little provision for the flesh. It might seem that way initially. I'll just make a little provision here. Oh, it's just a little bit. You know, I'm not going to go overboard. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to just do this moderately. If it's the flesh and you're making provision for it, it'll swallow you up before you know it. So the reality is we just don't go there. We just make that determination. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to follow that link or that, you know. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to make any provision for the flesh. You know, something like that. It's just like, no, forget that. Stay away from that. I don't want to subject myself to that. I don't want to give myself over to that. You know, making no provision. Just basically saying to the flesh, no. That's how, here's the thing. As we say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit, this is how we get victory. As we just yield ourselves over to the Spirit, and as we continue to yield to the Spirit and avoid compromising with the flesh, we're starving the flesh. We're killing the flesh. We're weakening the flesh. So it doesn't have that kind of stronghold on us. That's what Paul is saying to do. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, remember years ago we used to have the "What would Jesus do?" motto, and we had the, you know, the wristbands, "What would Jesus do?" and all that. You know, it's not a bad thing to ask in a lot of circumstances. You know, what would Jesus do? And we know there are lots of things. No, Jesus wouldn't do that. So when we're talking about putting on the Lord Jesus, I mean, this is a question we can ask in regard to these things that we're faced with, in regard to certain things that our flesh is sort of yearning for. You know, what would the Lord do here? No, the Lord wouldn't go here. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ himself be the armor that you wear, says the New English Bible. Give no more thought to satisfying the bodily appetites. Give no more thought to satisfying the bodily appetites. We have to be done with it. It's just like, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to meditate on that. I'm not going to give the time of day to that. Instead, I'm going to put on Jesus. The Moffat translation said, put on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and never think how to gratify the cravings of the flesh. You see, notice each one of these things are talking about the mind, because the cravings of the flesh and the gratifying of the flesh, it starts in the mind. It starts by thinking about it. It starts by toying with it in our heads and, you know, thinking that, well, maybe I ought to visit that. Maybe I ought to go there. As I start pondering these kinds of things and then, you know, fantasizing over these kinds of things, whatever they might be, eventually I am going to end up there if I don't deal with that. How do I deal with it? put on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't think about this stuff. And I have the mind of Christ, so I can defer to the mind of Christ. Lord, cleanse my mind. I don't want this in my mind. Lord, help me to think about you. Help me to think your thoughts. Help me to think about your word. This is why it's so important to be in the word of God, because we've got to get our minds cleansed out and we've got to get fresh, new, godly stuff stored in there. Some people don't have anything else to think about. Their mind is just so polluted and they haven't taken the time to cleanse it out. We've got to get it cleansed through the word of God. The Phillips translation says this: let us be Christ men and women from head to foot and give no chance to the flesh to have its fling. No chance to the flesh. You know, this is the crazy thing about the Christian life. We've got this traitor that is right in our bosom. We live with a traitor who's looking for any opportunity to rebel, to revolt against the authority of God. That's my flesh. That's your flesh. There's no reforming the flesh. There's no betterment for the flesh. You could be a Christian for 30 years, and your flesh is still as filthy and as rotten and as perverted as it ever has been. So we have to realize that. I've got a traitor right in my own breast. I got to starve him to death. I got to starve her to death. I have got to feed the Spirit, and I have got to refuse to cater to give in to this. That's how we get the victory, as Paul says here, by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the terminology Paul's using, and the picture is, remember in Ephesians, he talks about the putting on of the new man, the putting off of the old man. So he's using a picture of actually being clothed. So we come to Christ and we put off the old man, those filthy, unrighteous garments. We take those off and we put on the new man that's created in the image of him. And so these are choices that we make. We make the decision, I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to do what God says in his word. I'm not going to give my flesh an inch. I'm not going to make any provision for it. I'm not going to in any way cater to it. I'm just going to turn away from it completely. This is the way that God's calling us to live. And this, you know, this isn't like, oh, wow, we got to live like that. Man, that doesn't sound any fun. No, that's not that. It's not that at all. This is the way to live godly, to live a life in the Spirit. Because remember that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. The works of the flesh aren't those things. And remember what Paul said. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. This is the big deception about the flesh. The flesh somehow is able to deceive us into thinking that as we give into it, we're going to get some benefit from it. We're going to get some enjoyment, some blessing. No, we might have momentary enjoyment, but we certainly aren't going to have any blessing. Because if we sow to the flesh, at the end of the day, we're going to reap corruption. That's what we will reap. And remember, God says, you know, be clear about this. God will not be mocked. This is the way it is. Sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But here's the good news. Sow to the Spirit, and you reap life. See, sowing to the Spirit brings blessing, brings joy, brings peace. It's not a, you know, wow, what a bummer. I got to live that, you know, spiritual life. Oh, the flesh, that would be so fun. That would be so exciting. No, that's death. That's corruption. The Spirit, that's life. That's fulfillment. That's excitement. That's joy. That's peace. That's the way we're supposed to live.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Receiving One Another. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, The Day is at Hand. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0159. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.